Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, January 8th, 2015, and we have more news from CES, the International Consumer Electronics Show. And so today we're going to do something a little different, because all week long it's been everything from my perspective and from perspectives of Dave Hamilton and Brian Chaffin, because we've all been at the show. So today I thought it would be kind of cool to do something where we bring in Kelly Gumont. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, Jeff.
And John Martellaro. How are you, John?
Good morning. I am good.
It's great to have both of you here, and you guys are here so that you can talk with me some about CES from the outsider's perspective, because both of you have been holding down the fort while Dave and Brian and I have been running around like crazy at CES. So thank you for coming here and bringing your perspective from the outside.
Certainly.
So the first thing I thought we could do is pretty much what I've been doing with Dave and Brian throughout the week, which is highlight a couple things that I saw that I thought were interesting. And it was – so my experience at the expo was a little bit different yesterday, because I was focusing on what I could see at the iProduct Pavilion area.
Mm-hmm.
So I ventured out of – the territory of these are shipping products into the territory of I may be looking at things that aren't ever going to happen, because there's a lot of vaporware, or as Brian started calling it yesterday, and I love this term, prayerware.
I've heard announceware as another term for that. You know, we came out and told you this was going to be a thing, and that's all we're ever going to do.
Yeah, and I know there's a lot of that at CES this year, mm-hmm. but I actually made a point to try and avoid the prayerware. So I have a couple things I'm going to highlight that I saw.
Okay.
That were really cool. First off, I found a company called Bass Egg, and this company, they're making. When you know the speakers that you Bluetooth speakers you can get that you set on a surface, mm-hmm. and then they vibrate the air, and as the air bounces off the surface, that creates the speaker. Bass Egg is doing that, so this isn't anything new, but the way they're doing it was really impressive, because they found a way to create this little speaker that creates much better audio quality than I've heard from any of the other speakers that work that way.
Hmm.
And it has it's an anodized aluminum body as opposed to a plastic shell. So that was a big change.
Nice.
Right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it has like a 10-hour battery life. Like if you just crank the music and just let it play, mm-hmm. it'll run for 10 hours.
Holy mackerel.
And it sounded really good. And the thing that I loved was when they took it and said, okay, so here's a regular wall, like a wall in your house. It was studs and drywall and everything. And they held it on the wall, and the entire room became the speaker.
Wow.
And it sounded really good. So that was from Bass Egg. And if I'm talking about this kind of speaker and getting excited about it, it has to be pretty good. Because the others that I've heard have been fine, but nothing that I really felt like talking about.
Well, and let's be honest, that the Bluetooth speaker is pretty commoditized at this point. Like, almost everybody makes one. And second of all, these induction sort of speakers, like, there was kind of a wave of them, and then they sort of went away. And it seems like a problem that a lot of people aren't interested in solving anymore. So the fact that somebody came back with one at all, and then on top of that made it something that's pretty nifty, is just even more newsworthy.
Yeah, that is cool, because I've looked at some Bluetooth speakers and they're yawners in general.
Yeah, yeah. And this one I liked and I was kind of excited about. So they are hooking me up with a review unit so that I can really put it through its paces. And we'll have a review on TMO at some point in the near future, where you can find out if I'm still just as excited about it as I was yesterday at CES. Okay, so another thing that I saw that I thought was really interesting. No, not really interesting. Well, it was interesting, but it was a lot of fun. It was really cool. STM. They make bags. Yeah.
It doesn't matter what they make. I'm just excited about it. They make a really fantastic iPad case, and they do really well thought out bags and backpacks and you know, shoulder bags and that kind of stuff.
Yes, and they have a new one that is coming out right about now, and it's called the Drifter.
I want it.
You do. And not just
is this an iPad bag?
You can put an iPad in it, but it's a laptop bag. So it's a backpack, laptop backpack. And what they did was they designed the bag like they do, where it has the reinforced bottom with a heavier duty material, so it's not going to fray and everything's going to fall out the bottom. Built into the bottom, it has that zipper pocket that they've put in other bags, where you unzip it and then there's a rain fly that pops out and wraps around the backpack.
Guess why they're so popular in Portland?
I know. Yeah. And it has really nice organizing pockets on the inside. When you unzip it to open up the main compartment, instead of being a clamshell, it's sort of like a lid that pops open on the top. Mm-hmm. So it maintains its shape, so your stuff isn't going to just fall out. But the kicker is the padded pocket area that holds your laptop and your iPad is built so it's kind of suspended inside the bag. Mm-hmm. So if the bag is like dropped.
You've got a couple inches of cushion there.
Yes, and a little bit of a shock absorber thing because it can kind of float around inside the bag.
Nice.
Yeah, your laptop won't hit the deck just because your bag hits the deck. Somebody else has been doing that, and I'm really impressed with it because I think that's very clever.
It is clever, and I went over this bag very closely, looking at all the seams and stitches. I know what I'm looking for in these types of products because I know how the bags are built. I spent a lot of time in the backcountry, and I know what I need in quality equipment. And I really liked how the bag was built. Okay, one other thing I wanted to look at before we hop into you guys' perspective on the show, and this is the grown-ups part. So there's this company called Oh My Bod.
And they've been around a long time.
Yeah, they've been around quite a while. Yeah, and what they do is they make sex toys, and many of their sex toys are designed so that they play into the technological world that we live in. So they link up to an iPod to vibrate or do whatever it is that they're going to do, or you can control them through Bluetooth and stuff like that. So they. They came out with this new little vibrator that is controlled remotely through a smartwatch. So right now they're testing it with Motorola's smartwatch, or they've been using it with Motorola's smartwatch. But they are going to build Apple Watch compatibility once the Apple Watch is available. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, so the idea of remote controlling a vibrator is not exactly new. So this is one that's designed so that you can like kind of discreetly wear it and not have other people know that you've got this thing. But it has so it'll connect back through your smartphone so that it can be remotely controlled over the internet. So the person that's controlling it doesn't even have to be in the same room or the same state.
Oh.
And I thought that was kind of cool. So it gives you this kind of long distance connection thing. Mm-hmm. And in addition to being able to control it remotely from the watch, it will also use the heart rate sensors that are built into the watch. So you can have your heart rate control the vibrations on this thing. And some people will be like, oh, that's silly, and why would I ever want to use sex toys or whatever? That's not the point. The point is, I thought this was a really fantastic example of how companies are looking beyond the let's push emails and text messages to a watch, and using the watch as a device that now other things become accessories for it, and the watch becomes a tool for controlling different aspects of our life outside of what just the average tech user is going to be thinking about.
Right.
And so I think that we will be seeing a lot of other devices that become accessories for our smartwatches. And I talked about this earlier this week too, because mm-hmm. I was seeing some things come out that are going to be great smartwatch accessories in the health and fitness world. But I saw this and I'm like, oh, wow, that's really great, because now you have a way to have that kind of intimacy thing discreetly through a smartwatch, and intimacy when you're together is one thing. Mm-hmm. But when you're apart and you still want to have that intimate connection, here's a kind of cool way to do that. So I thought that was really cool.
Subtle, not blunt.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was really neat. All right. So we've been talking all week about my perspectives on CES. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious what you guys saw and what your impressions are based on seeing the big picture from outside the show.
Kelly, how about if I start?
Go ahead.
Well, my principal area of focus besides Apple stuff was 4K television. And sort of sizing up the situation at the show. And from what I can see from some reading various articles, the focus is going to be on content on 2015 so that they're prepped for Christmas. I was in Costco the other day and I saw a 65-inch Vizio 1080p for $899. And wow. So this is clearly... The year of dumping all the 1080p's at Christmas and then moving production over. And everybody bitches about content. So, you know, DirecTV's got its satellite up now and they're testing it. And they're going to, from what I've been told, activate it in March so they can start delivering 4K content. The restriction on having a particular kind of TV, it will be relaxed at that point. And you'll be able to plug in... any TV you want into your DVR. Blu-ray has a name. They officially announced that it's called Ultra HD Blu-ray. And so they'll start getting media onto advanced discs. And so I expect later in the year we'll start to see Blu-ray discs, so we don't have to, you know, download 4K content at night, you know, and then watch it the next day from a hard disk. So... I'm thinking that Christmas of 2015 is going to be a big 4K year. The other perspective I had on the on CES products was there was some really good revolutionary and new stuff like the Hewlett-Packard displays, but there was also some astounding gimmicks. I wish I'd had better notes. There were some things where I just laughed and I went, oh yeah, this is you can do this, but this is not going anywhere.
It's like the Bluetooth toothbrush?
Yeah, maybe prayerware, where somebody comes up with something and says, you know, this is possible. Let's see what sticks at CES. And you just laugh at that kind of stuff.
The other stuff is
that people come out with variations and refinements. So they have a little bit of a take on something that we know well, like chargers and cases and things like that. But they have a little edge trying to get a one up on somebody. So there's the crazy stuff, there's the refinements, and there's the really good revolutionary stuff that will last. And then there's the 4K work, which is going to be a big challenge this year. But my take is that the industry's working really hard to make the case so that they can have a bonanza at Christmas time next year.
Well, they failed to make the case for 3D.
That's right, and then
so
they're
that's
burned
why I'm
by
curious that.
That
this has sort of gone,
yeah,
like you
it's
know,
sobering influence on them.
Yeah, well, and then they're also going to have to, for people who maybe did buy a 3D television, whether they meant to or not, it was just sort of, you know, time to upgrade, so they ended up getting one that was 3D. People who bought televisions recently, unless it's one of these 1080p Vizios like you saw at Costco, John, they're not cheap. And, you know, if 2 years ago, you know, it's this is the same argument I have against Apple's television. This isn't an iPhone. If I bought a TV 2 years ago, I'm really not in the market today, particularly when you're talking about something that's like got dimensions like me. You know, when you're talking about a TV that's a 60 or 65 inch television, like people don't generally, there's always people who do, but generally people don't buy a new TV every couple of years, particularly at that size.
Yeah, but I think, Kelly, there's enough spectrum. There's enough variation in the times people bought their TVs that you can still do good business. I bought a Panasonic Plasma in 2007. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be, 8 years old here this summer.
Yeah, we have a Plasma, a 50-something Plasma. It's older.
So I'm thinking, move it to another room and get this 4K, get a 60-inch 4K.
We did that 2 years ago and bought a really beautiful, giant Panasonic television, stuck it on the wall. It's, like I said, it's like the size I am. It has 3D. We have used it, I think, three times because I have two sets of parents and a set of in-laws. And so, you said your TV's got the 3D. So we've used it three times to show people how the 3D works. And that's all the times we've used it. So, I sort of wonder if, everybody has to have a flat screen because otherwise you won't be able to watch television anymore. And then, you have to have a 3D television because, it's really awesome to wear glasses while you watch TV. And I just sort of wonder if maybe there's always going to be people who are going to go buy a new television, but I wonder if perhaps consumers might get tired of this and particularly with the 4K, they're going to have to really make a case and there's going to have to be a flood of DVD re-releases and stuff available on Netflix and stuff available on iTunes. And they're really going to have to launch this because I'm not going to pay $8,000 for a TV and get it home and not have anything to watch.
You'll be able to get a 55 or a 60-inch 4K at Christmas for $12.99.
Okay. But what am I going to watch on it? That's what I'm saying.
Well, you'll be able to watch DirecTV content, some.
Yeah, you'll so be if able I don't to have pull it TV, off Blu-ray,
the Ultra HD Blu-ray. Of course, we know that Netflix is broadcasting in 4K some selected shows like House of Cards.
And that's what I'm talking about is there needs to be a lot more stuff or...
That's what 2015 is going to be all about. Yeah. It's going to be about content creation.
So the thing that I thought the show, and I know how goofy this sounds, but it's really the case, is the thing that I was the most interested in was light bulbs. Because, hear me out.
No, I'm totally with you.
No, I'm waiting for John to just be laughing.
Yeah, I know it's coming. I know it's coming.
Because everybody is looking at light bulbs. And this, to me, was the thing that I saw when the Hue bulbs were first released. The Philips Hue bulbs, you can operate them with an app on your phone, and they change color and they change intensity. So if you want a blue light that is sort of a bright blue light, you can have that. If you want a dimmer light, you can do that. It's really nifty. Actually, my house is evidence of that. We have a whole lot more Philips Hue in my house than I'm really prepared to admit. but because it was Christmas this year, virtually our entire Christmas decorating was a combination of Hue strip lights in the windows. And then the Hue bulbs themselves. And then ran them with an app that would randomly flip them red and green. And that was like most of our Christmas decorating this year. So anyway, there were, based on the stuff that you were reporting, Jeff, because I did ask you to keep a special eye out for me for home automation stuff. There are, my favorite one, I think, is the light bulb, the LED light bulb that is a Wi-Fi range extender.
I saw that. Jeff, you tweeted about that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that company, they also have LED bulb that has a microphone and camera built into it. So you could put it like in your porch. Mm-hmm. So someone comes to your porch and just built right into the light bulb. You can, you have a tool so that you can see and hear who is outside.
So what I really hope they have is my email address because those are people I really want to talk to. And I also liked that there was – the thing to me about it is I always called it CES Consumer Electronics Someday because you never were sure if any of this was going to come out and everything that you looked at that was reasonably nifty, wasn't going to ship until this summer anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because I did go to CES one year, and that was basically the impression I got of it. So it wasn't a consumer electronics show. It was consumer electronics someday. Because maybe you'll get this.
And that's a big part of what happens there. Yep.
Yeah. So I was really excited to see that you had seen a bunch of light bulbs, because what that means is competition, and that means the price will go down, and that means that being able to get a color-changing light bulb or a light bulb that is at least smart enough that maybe you can run it with your phone or hook it up to If This Then That to do things. Like, my favorite – here's the thing. My favorite feature about the Hue bulbs is not that I can run them with my phone. It's not that they change color. It's that I can set up a rule, and I have set up a rule, so that when my phone returns to my house, the lights come on. And since I park in a garage and then walk into the house from the garage, by the time I get the garage door shut and get in the door, the lights are on. So I never have to come home to the dark. No matter when I left, no matter how long I was gone, I can come home and it will never be dark. And that's a very small thing that makes every single day better. Makes me really happy. So the fact that it may be entirely possible for somebody like my mom, for example, to go buy some of these bulbs because I've explained to her how awesome I think they are, but not have it be a $60 or an $80 or $100 proposition for her to get into something like this, to me is fantastic. And I was really excited. So I was really excited to see a lot of LED smart bulbs there. I was excited to see what people are cramming into them, like the range extender and the camera and the microphone. And the thing that I thought was funny that I said before you guys left even was, if you can find wearable home automation, like, that's probably the jackpot at CES this year. And someone did it. There was a light bulb, Jeff, that you posted that hooks up with your fitness tracker. And when your fitness tracker finds that you're at the high point, the least sleeping of your sleep cycle before your alarm is supposed to go off, the light mm-hmm. will come up and wake you, you know, just like the alarm would on some fitness trackers they have, where it'll track your sleep cycle. And when you're at the high point of it and less sleeping, then that's when it will wake you. And this hooks up with the light bulb and does it in conjunction with the light bulb, which I think is fantastic. And I love the fact that this stuff is getting more common. The fact that it's going to be more common means it's going to be less complicated. And so it's not going to be the nightmare I had setting up stuff at my house 2 years ago when we were trying to get all of these things going and be able to run stuff with our phones. And I'm really excited about that. I would really like if my mom didn't have to get up and make a lap every night before she goes to bed to make sure all the lights are off or on. I would really like for when she's on a trip to be able to fire up her phone and go, I'm going to turn some lights on. Because that's what I got to do. When I was gone in December, we were out of town for a week. And so in the evening, it would start getting dark. And either Mr. Kelly or myself would pull out our phone and randomly turn on a couple of lights in the house so it looked like people were home.
See, and then isn't after that a while, so cool.
We'd turn them off. Yeah, it was great. So it's even better because we were both there together, as opposed to what he sometimes likes to do, which is show off how he can run the lights in the house when I'm here and he's not. So all of a sudden it looks like a discotheque and I'm trying to get work done. And
party at Kelly's.
Yeah. The reason he likes to do this is because he knows it will be effective. So like, he was showing somebody, look what I can do with the lights at my house when I'm not even there. And they said, how do I know you're doing that? And he said, just wait. And I texted him and said, stop making a rave in the basement. I'm trying to get work done. So he said, that's how you know it's working.
There you go.
So I'd like to remind everyone that this stuff is supposed to make your life easier, but it keeps tech on your mind so much that there's a trade-off between the convenience and maintenance. And so it sounds like a good idea to sit by the fire, read a book, bake some cookies.
Yeah.
You know, relax, chill out a little bit, and get away from it.
Yeah, set up an If This Then That script so that when you sit down with your iPad to read a book by the fire, it knows that that you checked on Goodreads to see what you're reading, and then it adjusts the hue lights in your house and resets the temperature on the Nest thermostat.
Right, so you don't have to worry about it.
There you go.
Right. Well, and the other thing that I like about some of the automation stuff is the easy things that you can do, like even with a Wemo switch, you know, you can have that, you can have a lamp that's plugged into that, and you can have that come on when you come home. You can have it come on when it gets dark. There's a lot of really lightweight stuff that you can do. You don't have to be a power nerd in order to do this. Like, I could have written a script that would have done all of the lights on and off while we were gone, and it wouldn't have been a big deal. But I liked having the chance to do that, and it was just sort of something that we kind of thought about, you know, before we left. Like, we should probably make sure everything's working before we leave, so that when we're gone, we can turn lights on and off. And then I like the idea that some of this stuff is going to get, like I said, get even easier. I really like the fact that that in some ways there's stuff that's just easier to operate than what it used to be. And so I'm really hoping that and some of it was hubless, which I also thought was nice. You don't have to buy another piece of hardware and find a power outlet for it and find a, you know, put it on your Wi-Fi or track down an Ethernet cable in case that's something that you have to do. I like that there was, you know, a lot less setup involved with some of this stuff. So HomeKit was the thing I was the most excited about because there's been very little HomeKit integration.
And there was very little HomeKit talk.
But there was some, which is more than none, which is basically what we've had since iOS 8 was released. So
that's true.
The fact that anybody is looking at HomeKit and going, hey, we should maybe do this, because we've seen a lot of HealthKit stuff so far. There's a fair amount of apps that have been updated and some that haven't, Fitbit, who are using the health integration to do some neat stuff. And I was really hoping that CES would be an opportunity, particularly because it's, again, it's consumer electronics someday. It's not, you can buy this right now. I was sort of hoping to hear more of that so that we could do things like Air Force One was showing us at WWDC this last June, where you can say, Siri, it's time for bed, and the thermostat drops down a couple of degrees and all the lights turn off, and then you can go to bed.
I think that's going to come next year because all these companies sounded like they were waiting to see what happens with Apple Watch, and and they were waiting for the other SDK parts to roll out. So I have a feeling next year will be the big year for HealthKit and HomeKit integration. Also, we're like way over time, so we're going to have
super
to
super duper over time. That's okay.
Kelly, thank you so much for joining me today.
Of course.
And John, thank you for being here too.
Hey, it was fun.
Yes, and it was great to get the outsider's perspective on the show. And listeners, thank you for being a part of this every day this week so far. And we'll see everyone again tomorrow.
Bye-bye.